Welcome to Hallway Conversations, an interview series with geospatial insiders and outsiders. This is Adina Schutzberg. My hallway conversation with Liren Dalby, former president of NISGIC and current board member, was recorded on October 20th, 2009. It was a virtual hallway. I was in Somerville, Massachusetts, and Liren was in Little Rock, Arkansas. Our conversation about the 2009 NISGIC annual conference covered topics raised at the event, and lots of other timely topics, including authoritative data, crowdsourcing, social media, the broadband stimulus, and a variety of other topics. I'm joined today in the virtual hallway by Liren Dalby. He is the past president of NISGIC, that's the National States Geographic Information Council, and he is a member of the board. Now, Liren, not everybody has been to NISGIC or knows what a remarkable organization it is. So let's start with what NISGIC is.
Well, NISGIC is primarily focused on the effectiveness and efficient use of geospatial technologies. And so one of our core goals is to provide strength to each state. You've highlighted the model state criteria in the past, but that's one of our core goals, is to ensure that each state has a capacity to build its own spatial data infrastructure.
Right, and the way that happens, at least from my experience having attended a number of NISGIC meetings over the past 7 or 8 years, is that you get together the leadership in GIS for as many of the 50 states as you possibly can, plus folks from the federal government, plus some local folks, and you all get together and try to move things forward.
Yeah, this organization is really focused on high-level policy-type issues. And so this year we were really fortunate. We were concerned, I think like all conferences, about the attendance. And keeping in mind our goal is 50 states, it was a real pleasure that we got 41 of the 50 there. So that was really exciting.
Now that sounds like it's a pretty high. Normally it's in the 40s, right?
It is generally in the 40s. We suspected it might be a bit lower, you know, just because of the economic situation. NISGIC does set aside portions of its income to support states getting there. And this year we managed to get 16 additional states there that might not have otherwise been able to come.
Now, this year's event was held October 4th through the 8th in Cleveland. And unfortunately, Directions Media couldn't attend because that was the exact same time that we were hosting our location intelligence event out in Denver.
Yeah, that was unfortunate timing. There were several things that came out of this conference. Again, as we were trying to educate our membership and ourselves as we go back to our states, some of the big things were social media was scattered throughout the conference, and really looking at how we should use it as a communication tool as coordinators, and then what impact is it going to have in the future on data creation, data maintenance, and which kind of leads into the crowdsourcing. There's a fair amount of discussion on crowdsourcing and then what is an authoritative data source, which is one of those long-standing questions.
Did you come to any conclusion, or is this still something that's in the talking phase, that is defining exactly what authoritative data sources are?
It's interesting you should ask that, because one of the comments from the audience during one of our open mic sessions was, we've got to come to some conclusions. One of the great values I see in NISGIC is getting with a group of peers, really just floating ideas to the top. I think how we handle those in each state is going to be unique in itself.
Right, but this whole idea of sort of coming together with some kind of document about best practices, I know that's something that NISGIC has done in the past for something as important as which data should be publicly shared and which shouldn't be, things like that.
The interesting thing about this group is this was all relatively new, and I recognize that, you know, crowdsourcing and social media has been in play for quite some time now. However, this idea of how to handle data coming from multiple feeds that aren't traditional in nature. So we haven't come to any conclusions yet, and I think that people are still trying to get their heads around it.
I'm seeing more social media used by NISGIC itself. I mean, I'm certainly following the NISGIC blog, and NISGIC is on Twitter, and you've now got a blog, and you're on Twitter, so that communication is starting to take hold.
Yeah, Mike Mahaffey has headed up our communications for some time, and While I was president, I worked closely with Mike to educate myself and then also to ensure we were pushing out as much information as possible. One of the things that we highlighted in our conference at the mid-year was NSGC is one small group in a much larger community, and we recognize we all have to work together to make this thing successful.
What other things topics came up during the meeting?
Broadband is obviously on everybody's mind, given the $350 million worth of mapping grants that are out on the table. Well, actually, it's slightly less than that. So we were fortunate enough to have Ann Neville from NTIA join us on Tuesday, and she actually announced the first grant recipients, the first four grant recipients. And unfortunately, I don't have those states right off the top of my head, but that was a hot topic.
If I remember correctly, pretty much every state put in a request for some of that money. How many are actually going to get money?
That is a question yet to be seen. It's my understanding all 50 states submitted as part of the grant process, including several territories. But it's unclear at this time how many states will actually receive money on the other end. There's a general assumption all states will receive something. But it's unclear exactly what that is yet.
Did Ann Neville say anything in particular that got people excited or not?
I think there was a general excitement, one, that she was there. This is a huge grant opportunity. I can't recall a time when there was this amount of money put into one effort, with the exception of flood map modernization probably would be an example of when there was a large portion of monies for a single effort. And so the very fact that Ann was there, NTIA as a whole has been very receptive and open in accepting comments, concerns, feedback, and actually worked with NSGC on the broadband template that we distributed out. I think it was more, it was less in what she said and more that she was listening.
Got it. And I know that's sort of one of the long-term themes of NSGC, is just having those conversations with all of the appropriate agencies, either at the federal or at the local level. So I agree. And also, I think it's important to note that until this broadband grant program came out, nobody even had heard of NTIA.
That is interesting. I've said it over and over again. What NTIA is trying to do is something that NSGC has been an advocate for quite some time, and that is build a national effort where all stakeholders are involved, and it's going to, hopefully at the conclusion of this, it'll meet the needs of all levels of government. So that's not a small undertaking.
And let's see, the other thing that sort of popped up while you guys were meeting together was the new data that appeared on Google Maps.
The whole blogosphere and Twittersphere, if you will, we caught wind that the parcels were on Google Maps while at the conference, and so actually, there was quite a bit of Twitter activity, and our hashtag was NSGC 2009. So it presents some interesting challenges and opportunities. We didn't gain any insight. There's still a lot of questions, like everyone else has, about where the data came from, how can it be updated.
Yeah, what's it for, all those things.
What's the long-term goals, all the same questions you've reported on previously.
Now, did that sort of distract from the meeting typically has a pretty formal agenda with some spaces for sort of impromptu meetings as needed, but it sounds like you tried to stick to your agenda and leave that conversation online, I guess, as opposed to offline.
Yeah, it's this NSGC was unlike any other, and I think that we're seeing this reoccurring theme at nearly every conference I've been to the last year. There is the physical conversation taking place in the room, and nearly always a virtual conversation going on as well, and related to the parcels in particular, that remain pretty well virtual.
Now, how do you feel about that? I have very mixed feelings when I go to conferences, and I'm trying to cover, in a sense, both what's happening right in front of me and what's happening in these virtual conversations.
I can certainly see the challenge if you're from the media or trying to report these things back out at a later date. As an attendee, I love it. It really keeps my attention, because generally the virtual conversation is related to the physical conversation, and I'm a multitasker. I really enjoy it, and it also produces an archive, which we've done with ours, that people can go back what was really exciting to me is that people outside the room got to participate, and that's really encouraging, and I hope something that NISGC grabs hold of in future conferences.
Yeah, and I think other conferences are looking for that, to extend the conversation out to the folks who aren't on site. Now, the flip side to that is the conferences that are put in some geographic location where you don't have that level of connectivity, and it sort of forces everybody to be in the here and now and not be having those other side of conversations, which is also fun and unique.
It's funny that you should say that, because if you followed us on Twitter, you will quickly realize that we had broadband issues within the room.
That's right. And I remember you tweeting about that.
And it was quite comical, but I found it extremely frustrating. And I think that conferences in general that's going to become a requirement. You've got to have connectivity.
Yeah. Now, let's see, there were a couple of presentations that you noted were of particular interest.
Two presentations really stood out to me because I think they're forward-thinking. I say that, but I recently dug up a paper from 1997. It was called The Future of Spatial Data in Society, and this was put out by the Mapping Science Committee. In 1997, it actually highlights some of the things that were in presentations at this conference. Barney Krukoff from District of Columbia led us through a future public-private partnerships and what they might look like or how they might drive data creation or maintenance, and that was pretty fascinating. The other presentation was one provided by Bill Burgess, and he gave what I consider to be an honest assessment of the shortcomings of the NSDI, or the obstacles of the NSDI. It was a very pointed discussion, and I think the important thing for those folks listening decide to go look at it, these are issues and obstacles at all levels of government. So it wasn't pointed at the federal government. It was more of, we're all in this together. Let's be honest. These are some issues and obstacles we have, and we've got to figure out ways to overcome these.
That's a lot of, I think, what happens at NISGC meetings is let's identify what the challenges are and figure best practices or approaches to move around them or pass them.
The 13 issues and obstacles, I think anybody that takes a look at those, Mahaffey blogged about them while at the conference, but they're true and they're real. And instead of ignoring them, I think it's far past time we get our arms around them and work together on a solution.
Okay, so what's ahead for NISGC?
The membership each year, the state reps come together in a business meeting and they approve their advocacy agenda. And that advocacy agenda is put together over the course of about 3 to 4 months leading up to the conference. So this year, the advocacy agenda includes data for the nation, which essentially is any framework data set that meets the criteria that we proposed some months ago, which is opportunities for buy-ups, meeting the needs of all levels of government, some type of maintenance or sustainability. We also have address points from the Census Bureau on our advocacy agenda, and this has been a long-term discussion regarding Title 13, but really defining what has to happen. Is it, if it's a congressional effort, then let's go get it.
And that has to do with if and how the census will share the data that it is collecting for the 2010 census?
Yes, specifically, and I think it's important to note, we are specifically interested in the physical address and the XY coordinate. So we recognize that there is privacy concerns and information that census collects that likely should not be publicly available to the address level. But we feel strongly that the physical address itself and the XY coordinate should be made available in the public domain.
Right. And I know I've talked to folks from the census, and I've talked to some of the folks in the private sector, and I've gotten different answers about whether that will be made available or not.
It's a challenging topic. We recognize it. We don't expect anything to happen overnight, but we're looking for the clear path to this happen.
Okay. What else is on the agenda?
Governance of the NSDI and what does that really look like? The FGD structure has been in place for some time. We see some gaps there. We see some places where it should be strengthened. And so we want to begin to look at those and address those and really work with FGDC to make sure all stakeholders have solid input, not just within NGAC, but other ways as well. A federal GIO is another one of the components of that. We think a federal GIO that has some teeth. Also, a congressional oversight, actually having Congress have oversight over where are we at. I think one of the things we all recognize, and if you look at the issues, is that things that aren't measured don't get managed. And I'm not sure that we've measured or managed our efforts on the NSDI very well. And then the final item, which is pretty broad, but it's technology to improve government effectiveness. Items in there, as you might imagine, are broadband, and then ubiquitous use of social media tools. It's pretty fascinating that while DC in general, at the federal level, has embraced social media tools, as you move out on the landscape, there are still federal agencies that don't have access to these things. And so if you choose social media as a course of coordination, you want to make sure everybody has access to those tools. So those are the four high-level elements on our advocacy agenda this year.
And those just sound huge. So if any progress is made on any of them, it will be a great thing.
And we just try to keep moving the ball downfield, and we recognize that it's a marathon and not a race.
Well, great. I appreciate your time and the wrap-up of the conference, and I want to make sure that our listeners are aware of NSGIC and all of the energies put into it, almost all by volunteers, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And we appreciate you and giving us the opportunity to reach out to the larger group.
You have been listening to a hallway conversation with Liren Dalby about the 2009 NSGIC Annual Conference. Links to all of the documents referenced in our conversation are available at Directions Magazine and All Points Blog. If you have questions or comments on today's conversation, you can post them at those respective websites, or you can email us at editor.